Hey everyone, this is Stelly FD.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to run experiments, how to experiment.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
In a more general theme. Why do we want to talk about this, Heaton?
Yeah. This is like the topic. And we might have multiple episodes on it, in my opinion. But basically, I think the reason we're talking about this is that you and I were talking right before. And we were just talking about experimentation and how you can do it in a business. You can do it in life. And there's just things that people don't think you can experiment with that you probably actually can if you just change your mindset about it. So I'm going to just start by throwing out kind of one idea, and I'm sure you'll have a lot to say about it. I would say that in my experience, people don't necessarily understand or know how to do experimentation when they're thinking about their sales process. And I'm not just trying to tee an easy one up for you, but I really want to hear what you think about this.
Yeah, it's a good one. By the way, let me start by saying I love the word experiment, right? That word triggers a lot of associations and a way of thinking that's just beautiful, right? It's open, it's curious, it's investigative. It's like it is tied to both an idea or hypothesis and some action we're going to take to generate some results to learn more. It's about learning. There's so many positive things around it that I just love it. And whenever in life you incorporate the word, let's do an experiment on something, usually good things will come out of it versus when you're just deciding that this will work or not and you're going to do it or not or something else. So I just love the word experiment, and experiments in general is such a beautiful way to approach things. But anyways, putting that aside, sales, yeah, I mean, that's a good one because usually, well, when we talk about experiments, I think in the business world, most people today, because of lean startup and many other things in that area, customer development, they think of MVPs and building a first version of a product or a mock-up or running tests that are like, we're going to spend some money and drive some traffic to a landing page and then have version A and version B and see what works better. Those are kind of the common experiments a lot of times that in the startup community people think about and talk about. So when it comes to sales, it's not something that people think about experimenting in a lot, A/B testing in sales or anything like that. But it's the same fucking thing, right? In sales, I mean, everything – and this is something we were telling clients when we were running Elastic Sales, and we would take on board B2B startups that had raised money and that needed to figure out a sales model that was kind of predictable and repeatable and scalable, was telling them that just like you have to find product market fit, you have to find, you know, sales market fit. You have to experiment. You have to figure out what type of selling, what type of salesperson, what type of lead generation, what type of price point. Like, there's lots of things that we need to figure out to know how to successfully sell this product. And so, you know, when it comes to like what kind of experiments can you run in sales, well, there's a million ones, right? It starts with running experiments, how to generate leads. Let's just not even talk about inbound because that's something where marketing helps. Outbound, even then, right? If you want to do outbound sales, you could scrape lists, you could research them on LinkedIn, you could buy them on certain websites, you can do a number, you can heavily have your sales team go out and reach out to current customers and get referrals to generate leads. There's many ways that you can generate lead lists for your sales team, and you have to run some experiments to figure out what lead sources are better than others for us, and which one of these that are better than others are big enough that they are going to be able to really service our sales team for a long period of time. That's one. You can run experiments around how to reach out to these leads, right? How to generate the first touch point. Should we call or should we email? Or should we fax? Like, we had a customer once that sold EHR systems, tablet-based EHR systems for doctors, And we found out that faxing doctors versus calling them or emailing them was an incredibly effective way to reach out. I would have never thought in a million years that that would have worked. And up until that point, I thought nobody was using a fax machine anymore. It's like, fax machines? Are you guys crazy? But it was one experiment that we ran. One guy on the team had the idea for it. We ran it. It worked. And it's like one of these beautiful things. It's an experiment in sales where it's like, oh, this is a way to reach out, a channel to reach out that usually nobody thinks about. But for this particular customer, it's very effective, especially because most other people won't use it. Sending text messages. There's many ways to reach out to people. And you can run experiments on which of these channels are channels that will help me reach my target customer more often and in a better quality way. And then once you reach out, you know, there's all kinds of experiments you can run in terms of how to gather somebody's interest. So in an email, it can be experimenting with subject lines, with you know, obviously the body of the text with a call to action at the end, experimenting with the time that you send an email and all that, with calls, the same thing, what time you call, what day you call. What is the first sentence? What is your sales script, the structure of the conversation that you're having? I mean, it could go on forever, right? There's almost nothing in the sales process that you can't experiment with. And most people, because it's sales and in selling, we haven't talked about experiments as much as in other areas in startups. I think people think that they don't think about selling as a space where you continuously have to run experiments and where it's, again, you have to have hypothesis, you have different ideas around it, and then you go and you test it and you figure it out. They think we need to sit here in a vacuum and come up with the way that we're going to be selling, and then we're just going to very rigidly follow that plan. And if it doesn't work, usually the first reaction that people have in sales is, let's just do more. Oh, we're calling 200 people a day and we only reach one person. Let's call 400 people a day, right? They just go with more action versus stepping back and going, maybe we need to try something else, run a different experiment, figure something out. They don't have that flexibility because we have not talked about, written about, and exchanged enough ideas around experimenting in selling. But I could go on for hours and what experiments you could run in sales, and still would not be enough time.
Yeah, I love that. It's almost like marketing for me.
Yeah.
And I could go off for hours about marketing. I think in marketing, all of marketing is experimentation, whether somebody understands it or not. So it's probably easier to talk about experimentation in marketing. If you're going to go, you know, do, you know, 10 tweets, one of them is going to work better than the rest of them, or maybe a couple will, right? Or if you're going to go buy some ads, you get to test one ad against another ad. So I think there are some concepts like marketing or categories, industries, areas of your business, whatever you want to call it, like marketing, where experimentation is kind of a norm. So I really love how you basically use the marketing experimentation methodology, if you want to call it that, which is just try stuff and see what worked in sales. And you know, I'm gonna try kind of a whole nother area. I'm going to actually stick to sales. One of my favorite things is, like, you know, one of the recommendations people have in sales where you hire two salespeople at the same time instead of one, especially when you're starting out. So, you know, it's a form of experimentation in my mind. It's also a form of validation. So if two people can sell your product effectively, then it's better than one. And then, you know, it's not a fluke, and you can actually even run more experiments early on to figure out how to scale your business versus just having one person doing sales, because you don't know if it's a fluke. So that's a form of experimentation too, which is, instead of having one person do something, you're having two people do it. And I don't know what sales, you know, scaling methodology you prescribe to, but I've heard a lot of folks say that, like, it's two salespeople, not one, and that leads to better outcomes, better validation of your sales process.
Yeah, I love that. I actually say three.
Go for it.
Yeah. So I always tell people, if you're one sales position, you want to hire three people for it, or not hire three people for it, but do a trial run with three people, right? Where you tell them, hey, there's going to be a 1 month contract. We're only looking to hire one person, but we might hire multiple people. You give three people the job. I mean, the reason for that is that, yeah, if you just hire one person for the sales job and that person doesn't have success, you will always have some doubt. Is it the person, or is it the sales process, or is it the leads, or is it the way our product? What is the problem? It's hard to tell. Sometimes it's easy if somebody's a total failure in the way they act, But usually, since you selected them, they might be likable enough, cool enough people that they put effort in. And so, especially also lots of startups that don't have a lot of experience in hiring salespeople, you don't know if this person is not good or not, and you don't know why the results are not good. So if you have three people, it always depends on the culture that you set up, but it creates some friendly competition, which is good in sales, right? It's a team sport. Like, you want to have some competition, somebody to compare yourself with. But if you pick three different types of people, you're going to get a big range on do they get very similar results in that way? Oh, cool. You have something that's so consistent, it doesn't matter who you hire. They're always going to generate the same results. But more often than not, you'll see that one person will outperform the other two dramatically. And then you go, ooh, why is this? Let's get more of this type of person as a salesperson versus the others. So it gives you just a lot more data on not just is selling working or not, or is cold calling working or not, but is the type of person that is doing the selling, how big of a difference does that make? We ran a campaign once where we had to reach out to a certain type of restaurant for a B2B startup, and we were struggling, man. We had some of our best guys on that campaign, and they could not reach the owners of these particular types of restaurants. They were really hard to reach, and they're just struggling and struggling and struggling. And then I don't know even how it happened. We were switching campaigns around, and we added a girl to that campaign, a woman to that campaign, and she was not even that experienced. She was a super junior person. She was not, I would have not told you that she's better at selling necessarily than some of the other dudes, but she instantly generated results. She got to the owners much faster than everybody else. And her numbers were just like staggeringly better than anybody else. And we all looked at it and were like, whoa, what's happening here? We started analyzing what she was doing on the phone, and she had a great voice and she had a great energy. But we added a second woman to that team. And this is, you know, this might seem unfair and might seem sexist, but in this particular market, women had an easier time to reach to the decision maker. And that's actually a truth in many verticals, unfortunately, because people, not unfortunately, or fortunately, I mean, it's a reality of the world. People like to talk with women more than with men, understandably. Women like to talk with women. Men like to talk to women. So women oftentimes will get an easier time to kind of get a foot in the door and talk to the right people. But then still, unfortunately, in some markets, some man will have a harder time buying from women, or will be more difficult in dealing with in the negotiations because what the ego or whatever. So another man would have an easier time than a woman. Nothing that can't be overcome, but it's just interesting even think about man versus woman and the difference it can make in certain campaigns. And this was one where we just switched it up, and then the team was, you know, we just said, hey, if this is an audience, a target customer we need to reach, and women salespeople have a much easier time to reach that customer and convince that, screw it. Let's just have a woman team on this, right? If that's what's going to generate a lot more success, why struggle with all these men? And that was a finding that in hindsight seems obvious, but we had to stumble over that. We didn't think about testing this or trying this.
Yeah, I really like that. And you know, the experimentation mindset is what led you to do it. So let's go beyond sales. What else can you experiment with in a company that people aren't thinking of?
That's a good question. I mean, what else can you experiment with? I mean, there's nothing you can't experiment with, but right? Yeah. So everything. I mean, obviously there's some very crucial things, and I love your definition of a business. Of what is a business? A business is a product or service and distribution, right? A way to reach customers. If you have these two things, you have a business. So usually most of the experiments that you're going to focus on are going to be around these two things, your product or service, you know, and versions of that, and a ways to reach customers, which is usually marketing and sales, right? So that's going to be kind of the focus on it. But everything can be experimented with. I mean, we're currently, we are, you know, a remote company, and we hired a lot of more people that are remote, and we've kind of grown to a degree of remote where we now started running experiments on the communication channels that we're using. So we used to just use chat pretty heavily, and then a little bit of email, and Skype. And now we got into a point where we were like, all these things are great, but there's a lot of the fun that when we are around in physical space, a lot of the banter, fun, joking, a lot of the having a sense for who the other person is and what their life looks like, that we can't replicate in chat as easily and in email, and not even in a Skype call when we do Skype calls with team meetings. It's not quite touching that social aspect of working together. And we just started experimenting with Snapchat internally in the last 3 months. We've been heavily using Snapchat as an internal communication tool in our company. And it's been brilliant. It's been super successful. We're going to be publishing a blog post about all the experiments that we run and how we use it and why it works and what does it do. So other companies might learn from it as well. But that was just an experiment. That was something where we started just using a lot more channels and trying to figure out how can we communicate more and better with this growing remote team. And then my co-founder, Anthony, started becoming a huge fan on Snapchat and trying to convince all of us to use it. And I was hating it. I was like, I don't want to use Snapchat. I'm not interested in this. This is not for me. No, I was resisting it. And it was just keep pushing me until he convinced me to test it for a few days. And then the way he was using it was very business-minded. And the moment we did this for once or twice, I immediately saw, wow, if we use this internally, this could be really cool. And we started kind of convincing one person at a time and saying, let's try this for a little while and see how it works. And now the entire company loves it. So that was that's an experiment of using a communication tool internally, a way to communicate when you're a remote business that may have worked or maybe it didn't work. But in this case, it seems to be working well. But there's not an area from onboarding over HR, over your accounting, over maybe that not for the craziest of experiments, but there's not almost no area that you can't try experiments, even like where your headquarters are, where your office is. If you're not sure, you could just Airbnb a few different places in different neighborhoods and see which neighborhood you want to have an office in. Like there's almost no area that you couldn't run experiments in.
I really like that. I mean, I know it's really, really tough probably for a lot of people listening. These guys are crazy. They experiment with these crazy things like Snapchat and whatever. I mean, we've done a ton of experiments around even our own product development processes where we would create new processes every 2 or 3 weeks based on iteration of the last process. Because, you know, a lot of times people think of experimentation and they think of either A-B testing or sequentially trying things. On the web or, you know, when you can, you show two different customers, two different things, or two sets of customers, two different things, and then you go see what happens. That's one form of experimentation when you can do that at the same time. Another form of experimentation is kind of what you describe, which is we're just going to use Snapchat. You know, and there's no A-B there, but the fact is, well, we were previously doing something, and now we want to make some improvements. We know what we're trying to improve, which is, you know, morale or whatever you folks decided. And then you go ahead and just experiment and try something new, but you have some basis. And I think that that's really important when you're experimenting, of like knowing like why you're trying to run this experiment, what you're trying to improve, what are you trying to get out of it? And those are things that I don't think people really think about too much. And once you start thinking like that, you're like, I can experiment with anything because I want to make it better. That's it. I just want to make it better. And how can I make it better unless I try new things and see how they work versus something else I was doing or something else the team was doing? And so we have all kinds of things around, like, you know, when we're really trying to get better at product development, we know things that matter to us are things like speed, quality of the product. And honestly, like the big benchmark for us on product development is like, how successful were we at doing what the customer needed or making the customer satisfied, whether it's, you know, scoring it with Net Promoter Score or scoring it with some other customer satisfaction score or some metric that we're really going after. But yet, you know, it's a product development process. It's not something where you do it at the same time two different ways necessarily, but yet you can still experiment with it in this sequential way. And when you start thinking like that, you can experiment with anything. And, you know, but it's really about having this foundation of why do we even need to improve this and what are we trying to improve? And I can see this whole Snapchat experiment. I mean, I'm excited to read the article. I've never heard of a company doing that yet. So that's really cool. And you also have, like I said, even I can say I've never heard of a company doing that. But if you folks didn't think about this as an experiment, you wouldn't even be doing it. And you wouldn't come up with new ideas, ideas that are more forward thinking and ideas that, you know, will probably change the game for your company.
Yeah, I think that, so you touched on a lot of things that I love. And I think at the core of it, I mean, there is that you have like a basis, a hypothesis, an idea, this could be better, but it's also the open-mindedness that it might not work, right? And I think a lot of times too many companies in many areas, what they're trying to do is they have an idea and they get excited about it and then they want it to work. So they would never say, let's run an experiment. They say, this is the way we're going to be communicating now internally. The CEO, the founder has decided we're all Snapchatting, right? And then people get really bothered by this because they're like, oh God, like, why do I have to do this? I don't want to do this. Why is this mandated or why is this decided? And then when it turns out that it's not working, you're usually less open-minded about stopping and changing it because you've now announced to the entire company that this is the de facto way we're doing things now, right? So, and this is the Snapchat thing is a stupid example, but it could be anything. It could be like we thought about our problems with distribution and we decided we need to do PR. PR is going to be the solution to our problem. And we're going to really invest in PR. We're hiring 3 PR people. We're hiring a PR agency. We're doubling down and tripling down on PR. PR is going to be the way out of here. If you approach things that way, where you think about your problem and then you come up with a solution and then you are committing yourself to that solution before having verified that it really is working, it creates all kinds of problems. And most of them are that you're going to stuck with it even if it's not working for way too long until you give up on it. Versus if you think about ideas as something that always needs to be tested before you truly double, triple, quadruple down on something and go, you know what, we thought PR is something interesting. We've done a little bit of it and we saw some success. We want to learn more about it. We want to see and test if this is really a big way for us to keep growing. So we're going to run a number of experiments to see, can we replicate some of the past success in PR? Would it work to work with a PR agency versus doing PR in-house? That's been what we've been doing so far. We're going to do a few tests to gather more information, gather more learnings, and then decide what to do next. That obviously brings that assumes an open mind about it and a curiosity about it and the possibility that you might learn something that will tell you this isn't working. And I think that's so crucial in anything that's new. And it's something that oftentimes when that's lacking, that attitude is lacking, people just decide in their head that this is going to be the thing that works. That is kind of the cause of a lot of struggle, pain, and wasted time, just spending way too much time on something. Most of the times when somebody tells you, oh, we worked way too long on this, or we wasted way too much time on this thing, at the core core of the issue was that they didn't think of this thing as an experiment early enough on. They committed to it too early without knowing enough about it. And then they were stuck in that commitment for way too long.
Yeah, I really like that. And so they just didn't experiment. They didn't think about like what was next.
Yeah, they didn't think about this potentially not working, and they didn't think about themselves as being them as not having enough data, enough experience to know to commit themselves in that big of a way. And they didn't think of like what's next. What if this doesn't work? What if this isn't the way? What will we do then? They kind of said this is going to be the way. And then they are stuck with it and they never ran experiments to validate that that is truly the way. All right. I think that we are approaching the end of the episode. So let's wrap this up with some tips. What do you got, Hayden?
It's a tip / statement. change is constant. And the only way to get through it is experimentation.
Ooh, this is a good one. This is a good quote. Is this yours?
I made that shit up right now.
Nice. I like it. All right. So shit. I don't want to add to this. Let's just end the episode on this quote because
this conversation inspired it. So
all right. Yeah. No. Let's just end it on this quote. This quote is beautiful. Say it again.
Change is constant, and the only way out is experimentation.
Change is constant, and the only way out is experimentation. I love it. That's it from us this week, guys.